Hi guys, and welcome to a new episode of Two Girls, One Book podcast. I am Hannah, and I am joined by Rhiannon, remotely in our separate houses. We're here today bringing you some short stories, which is our quick little snippets of the books that we've read in the last month or so. I have not read very much at all, and Rhiannon, by contrast, has read a mountain of books. So this is Rhiannon featuring Hannah today.
yeah, a bit of the reverse of what we've had, a couple of podcasts ago. But it's all good. So we're sharing the workload, so to speak. But yeah, I've read quite a few. I think some of them were from our little mini moon break that me and Charlie went on. So that was literally like a few days where all I had to do was read. So
yeah,
you know, and I'm still not like crazy busy with work. It gets busier like throughout February into March. So, but I've still got plenty of time to read. So I have been smashing through my piles of books. So I guess I'll just launch in. There's quite a lot of these. I was just saying to Hannah before we press record, there's quite a lot of these I can't really say loads about because I don't want to give spoilers. So like the first one is the third book in the ACOTAR series, A Court of Wings of Ruin, which I don't actually have. I don't have it in front of me. But I really don't want to say that much about this one because it starts to get really spoilery if you've not read any of the books, especially.
Yeah.
So what I will say is that I didn't enjoy this one as much as the second book, but I did still enjoy it. It's still it's a big hefty book. But it's more of a, it's basically the war happens. And yeah, so it's a kind of battlefield action packed book. There are more characters that come back into it from the first book as well. So it all starts to get tied together. And I think I'm right in saying that initially it was going to be a trilogy book,
right?
Series.
Okay.
But then it's been extended. I don't know why. So I've got there's a little novella next, and then A Court of Silver Flames. So I'm gonna keep going with it. There are still, I know I mentioned this last time, there are still some like language things that really annoy me with this book. The vulgar gesture that she references feels like every other paragraph someone's giving someone a vulgar gesture, and I'm just like, not here for that. Just give them the finger. There's just other ways to say it, isn't there? Like, I don't know, vulgar gesture makes me cringe. I am enjoying the series. I've seen recently one of our Bookstagram friends, Helen, she had a Fantasy February. And she's not normally a fantasy reader, and so I've been looking at her account for like inspiration as to other fantasy books that I might be able to, like baby beginner fantasy books, which I might want to get on board with. And she said that the Crescent City series is, which is another Sarah J. Maas series, is great in her opinion. So I think I'd quite like to, and she read ACOTAR as well in her month,
right?
So shout out to Helen if she's listening. I'm gonna get on board with some of her recommendations. But yeah, it was good. I'm reading them really quickly despite them being like super big books.
Yeah.
I am quite enjoying getting into a different genre that I never thought I would really get on board with.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that both of us have said that we were Harry Potter nerds, which is kind of sort of fantasy, and like The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings and stuff was stuff that I loved when I was younger. So I don't see why I wouldn't get on board with it. It's just not something I've dipped into as an adult.
I don't know whether that's maybe what it is that when you're a child, your imagination is already so kind of malleable and vivid that you're just at that ripe age to jump into a fantasy world. And once you become an adult, you've got the kind of, I don't know, like the haze of sensibility and being a bit of a grown-up. And I don't know whether that's a little barrier towards like jumping head first into a new fantastical land.
Yeah, an imagined world.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of like, it's refreshing though, isn't it? Especially like with the world the way it is at the moment. I'm not saying like the fantasy worlds don't have their problems, because my God, they have their problems. I mean, the fact that that book is completely just around a war. but it's nice to be in a different place, I think, isn't it? So... but this leads quite nicely onto my second book. So I think I'm going to do basically like two books, and then Hannah will talk a bit, and then I'll do another two, and then Hannah might dip in again.
Yeah.
But yeah, the next book that I'm going to talk about is what I wrote in my review was, it's basically me on paper in a book, like all the stuff that I love. So this is How We Disappeared by Jingjing Li. And it's historical fiction, dual timeline, dual point of view, wartime, East Asian fiction. so it's like all the stuff that I tend to really like in my books. And it's also super pretty. Like the cover is amazing. I think I got given this. This was definitely something that I got given in a random acts of kindness post maybe last year. I feel like it might have been from Lynn. I think it was. So I did really enjoy this. I partially read it, partially listened to it. I really enjoyed it. But I feel like there might have been something missing for me.
Right.
I don't know. A couple of really interesting points came up when I'd posted my review, which I think has helped me understand it maybe a little bit more. I process my feelings on it a little bit more. But in brief, the book is set in wartime Singapore, which I didn't really know anything about that. Side of the war at all. So I feel like I learned quite a lot. It's 17-year-old Wang Di is shipped off to a Japanese military brothel. And she's basically made into a prostitute for the soldiers for several years. It was pretty difficult to read about. I was sat there sort of reading, thinking, this is really dark. I mean, since then we've read A Little Life, which has gotten to a whole new level of dark for me, but this was pretty dark. And I think it's just because you know that it will have happened, like it's based in truth, isn't it? So it just makes it that much worse. So then it switches into like present day. It's the year 2000, so present day enough. Wang Di is like looking sort of back on her relationship with her husband. And then there's also a separate voice, Kevin, and his relationship with his grandmother is sort of explored. And all of these voices and timelines don't really slot together until the very end. So it's quite interesting how it all comes together and how they're all sort of related and intertwined. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really see it coming, like how it all worked out. So it was really interesting in that way. And so I think my problem was that Wang Di, the main character who we visit both in past and the present day. She's quite a closed down character, but that is because of what happened to her. So this was the discussion that one of the girls was sort of raising on my review post. So I found that, yeah, maybe that it was a purposeful decision that she wasn't endearing really at all. I mean, I felt horrendous for her, but I didn't... It's not that I didn't care about her. I just didn't, like, get a connection with her. But a lot of it, the modern day stuff, is her almost mourning the fact that she didn't... There was a lot of things that she didn't necessarily talk about her husband about with her husband,
right,
as well. So yeah, I think it made sense. And yeah, it was a really amazing book. I think a lot of people will like it and find it very affecting.
Right.
But yeah, yeah, it was really interesting. It's just maybe it wasn't exactly what I was expecting to feel.
Yeah.
Or not feel.
Yeah. It sounds like I'd like to pick it up, but I do definitely need like an emotional connection with the character to really feel that.
I don't think it's going to be for you. I think you would enjoy The Mountains Sing a lot more. Like, I mean, it's a different subject, but the similar sorts of similar tick list of things.
Yeah.
I feel like The Mountain Sing, Pachinko, this one, they're all in the same sort of realm.
Yeah.
The Mountain Sing is probably definitely my top.
Okay.
Out of those that I would recommend to go for.
Right. Nice. Well, yeah. I still got that one on my list, so I will get to it. Just maybe not this month.
No.
I'm in the process of moving house. I don't know, I've mentioned it on the Instagram page, but that's one of the reasons why I've literally just barely read anything. Partly because everything is boxed away, and partly because I've just got no time or mental capacity.
I was mentioning that. I wasn't talking to you about it, was I? It was the fact that you're moving house, but you're also like moving location as well. So like it's not like you're just moving down the road. It's like quite a big upheaval. So I think fair enough.
Well, so much so actually, the upheaval, that I'm going to talk now about a book that I think I read in January, but I forgot about. But I really enjoyed it, so I don't want to miss it off the podcast. And it is Bookworm by Lucy Mangan. It's a memoir. Lucy Mangan is a journalist and writer. I'd never heard of her before. I think she writes for The Guardian little bits and bobs. And I picked this one up purely based on the cover in Waterstones, because it's a really cute cover with like a little child reading, and it just says a memoir of childhood reading. And I was like, okay, that's interesting and exciting. Nice. And there's so many moments through it that I'd highlighted it and been like, is this like my long lost sister? This is weirdly similar to me as a kid. And it's basically the story of her growing up as a bookworm. She's quite an introverted child, and once she discovered her love of reading and its ability to transport her to multiple different places and times, so it reads chronologically, and so we start with the first books that she fell in love with, The Very Hungry Caterpillar, all of those kind of classics. And there's so many that I'd gone, oh, I'd forgotten about that. Like Meg and Mog, The Witch of the Little Cat, that's just stuff that just made me get like warm, fuzzy feelings as I was reading it. It's a memoir, so there's not really very much to say about it, because it's just her life story, but the little hidden gems of stuff that I'd forgotten and books that I'd forgotten, and took me back to the exact same feelings that I got. I'm a massive... Well, Enid Blyton was the author that just absolutely grabbed me as a kid. my parents both had all of the Famous Five books and the Secret Seven books. And I can remember once my mum, I used to have like a cabin bed, and my mum went once to change the sheets, as she did weekly, and found like 74 Enid Blyton books on my bed, where I'd read one, put it down, read the next one, put it down, and just not bother taking it back to the shelves. I would read them like just one after the other, never stopping. And it was a really nice little kind of trip down memory lane to revisit some of those. She talks about C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia, all of the Enid Blyton. There's some Roald Dahl in there. And also just kind of acknowledging and appreciating that the ability for books, particularly for children who don't necessarily have that kind of outgoing social personality, the role that they played in her life and giving her kind of coping mechanisms for things that happened. And there's nothing particularly dark. This is such a lighthearted, lovely little read. Nice. I really enjoyed it. It's just nostalgia for bookworms.
Yeah. That sounds really fun. I'd like that.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. Yeah. It made me want to go back and, I mean, I've still got a lot of my childhood books. They're all currently in storage, but I want to go back and reread them and just get those feelings back. Because I think it's a little bit like music in that it can take you back to a specific time and place. And I think if I picked up those specific books, I think I'd feel the same things that I felt when I was a kid reading them. It's a lovely little nostalgia trip. And I'd recommend it to anybody that was an introverted bookworm as a kid. My mum used to tell me off for like walking down the stairs with a book in my hand. She'd be like, "You're going to die." Just never didn't have a book in front of my face.
That's not advisable. I would definitely break my leg if I started walking down our stairs. Our stairs are really steep without a banister, like a proper banister. So I'd be a goner. Not advised.
Yeah.
Cool. It sounds really interesting. I'd like that one.
Yeah.
I love a bit of nostalgia.
Yeah, I recommend it. It's like, I think she was brought up in the 70s, so I don't know whether for anyone who's not like a British kid, it may well not be the same, but like those 70s, like British, I wasn't born in the 70s, but I got passed down a lot of my parents' books. So it's all of the same.
I think a lot of them, they're like timeless, aren't they? Because I would think like, I read a lot of Roald Dahl, so, but I presume that kids are still reading quite a lot of that now. Like it's, timeless. I read like The Swallows and Amazons, Arthur Ransom books. I've still got them on my shelf because I love them so much.
Same.
Like, all that are written donkeys ago. So I'm sure there's a lot of like things that are just, everlasting. Right, our next one's another memoir, isn't it? But we both listened to this one.
Yes.
So it was gifted to us by Penguin Audio, who are great at giving us some good audiobooks to listen to for our commutes. And this one is Will by Will Smith. And it was written with Mark Manson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I always want to say Marilyn Manson, but that's not the same.
No, that would have been a very different book.
That would have been a different
book. That would have been right up my street.
Yeah, what an interesting combination that would be. Will Smith and Marilyn Manson. I'm not quite sure how that would go. But Mark Manson, who wrote The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F. Which I have read and I did really enjoy. So I do enjoy his writing. He's an interesting writer. So I knew that I would like his influence on this book.
Yeah.
I'm not particularly a Will Smith fan. I, like a lot of people who grew up in the early 90s, have watched plenty of Fresh Prince, and that's probably, we were talking about this last night, weren't we?
Yeah.
That both of us probably know him the most from watching him on Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
And I guess some of his music, especially like the ones that were attached to his movies in the 90s, like Men in Black and
Bad Boys,
Wild West and all of that stuff. Like I've not necessarily seen a lot of his movies, but I'm definitely very aware of who Will Smith is.
Yeah.
It was a really interesting listen. I haven't come away from it liking him anymore. I always thought he was a bit of a egocentric maniac, and I've come away from it thinking that he is a bit of an egocentric maniac.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting listen.
Yeah, he's definitely, and one of the things which I'd said yesterday when we were talking about it, one of the things that I found really interesting was when he discussed his kind of meteoric rise to fame, was that there's a, he and his agent, I think it is, have come up with a formula for Will Smith's success. To the point that they researched and like took data of, if we do A plus B and we times it by X, we're going to get this result. And if we put another 300 hours of work into it, we're going to get an even bigger result. And they've literally turned it into a formula. I think it was something like, if it's got a romance, if it's got creatures, if it's got, was it Aliens? Something, they basically figured out what was the formula for the most successful movies in the last however many years. And they try to tick every box in every movie that he does. And he's undeniably been very financially successful. And he'll tell you about how financially successful he's been.
I think that was what I quite enjoyed, the no shame, like, this is how much my movie grossed. Mm-hmm. This is how much I'm worth. Yeah. Like, it was kind of like, because a lot of people would say that's a bit crass, just talking about money all the time. But he obviously, like, he puts importance on it, and he wants people to know that that's important to him.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Absolutely fair enough. But yeah, it did. Maybe it did get a little bit old. When it just kept coming up the same thing again and again, just like, how amazing I am. There were different parts of it though, because I quite enjoyed sort of his talking about his more recent, like, not spiritual, was it a spiritual awakening? I don't know, like the end of it. It was kind of, it went into a different tangent at the end.
Yeah.
I guess because he stopped making successful movies. Maybe. So he had to write about something else.
Yeah. I think it's well worth a listen. He's just such a kind of a huge figure in pop culture for like our generation.
Yeah.
And it is interesting to hear about. I really liked hearing about his like childhood. His mum and dad seemed like such strong characters in his life, and very different people, and you can see the very different influences that they had upon his personality. And I liked listening about that. I thought that there was some really funny moments when he talked about like his brother and sister, and I liked listening to him telling the story. I do think that that makes such a difference. When someone's telling their own personal stories, you get a little bit more emotion in it. I think the other thing which I hadn't realised, which we did discuss a little bit last night when we were out for dinner, was, like we'd said, that our view of Will Smith was predominantly the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. But prior to that, in the hip-hop world and in Philadelphia, where he kind of started to get famous, I didn't know any of that and kind of who he was and how big he was becoming in the hip-hop world, because for me, he existed in my life as the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and that's it. I thought that was quite interesting. And it also gave a little bit of understanding as to the audience reactions on that show when Jazzy Jeff showed up. Like, to me, he's just a funny character, and okay, that's funny. But for that community and that kind of scene, he was huge.
Yeah, legendary.
Yeah, I think that was quite interesting to be able to get that little extra bit of insight into that world.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I thought I did enjoy it, and I think it's worth a listen or a read just to kind of see another side to it. It is a different celebrity memoir because he's not trying to pretend to be anything. He's just the machine that is Will Smith. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. It was an engaging listen. It was just like basically a really long interview.
Yeah.
I felt like he probably could have gone on for ages and ages. I felt like his favourite subject must be himself. So it could have been about 3 times as long, but it was quite long anyway.
Yeah.
It was long enough.
But Mark Manson's writing influence on it, I think, helped.
Yeah.
Because you could definitely tell
the
flow of it was...
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. 100%.
The next one we're going to talk about is another one that we read together.
Yeah.
We did this one as a little buddy read with some girls on Instagram. And it is The Maid by Nita Prose, which... For me, definitely was a, this is so pretty, I want it on my shelf, rather than necessarily being, I thought it was an intriguing premise, but it's not something that I would have like been drawn to had it not been for the beautiful cover and spreads on the editions that we've got. Yeah.
I definitely think it's more the kind of thing that I would go to. This is like mystery vibes from, this is like a nostalgia type read for me, like mystery books.
Yeah. Cozy mystery,
exactly. And a little bit far-fetched. And I loved our protagonist, Molly. You weren't so keen, were you?
No.
So this is where our sort of reading preferences differ wildly. But I think that probably comes across in our personalities as well. I really liked Molly Maid. So Molly Maid is definitely somewhere on the spectrum, autistic or whatever. And she is straight up pretty easy to understand, not like, she's not like a layered person.
There's no nuance.
Emotional. No, that's what I love. I love straight up. She's definitely got like, a lot of people have sort of compared her to Eleanor Oliphant.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd agree with that. It's the same sort of protagonist. And yeah, I enjoyed her as our sort of central role in this mystery.
So The Maid is a kind of classic whodunit mystery. So Molly is a hotel maid, and one morning she is the person who discovers a body, and then the story ensues from there. There are secrets that only she knows, and we kind of follow the investigate. I think it's not really a very long period of time from start to finish of the book. No. So it's quite fast-paced, and I enjoyed the kind of... I'd said in the buddy read chat that it just gave me Cluedo vibes. So the characters, which I think is maybe one of the things that made me like take a little step back from it, because you've got Molly the Maid, which is an eye roll of a name in itself, and then everybody was Mr. Black and so-and-so White or Snow, and I just was like, oh, okay, at some point this just becomes a little bit like meh.
I loved it. I loved all the cheesiness.
I didn't hate that it was, I could see where she was going with that, the idea of the kind of, it did take me immediately into that vibe of like, oh, we're in a mystery, this is a whodunit, okay. But yeah, I didn't connect with Molly as a character. I like nuance and layers in my characters. That's not to say that I don't understand a straight-talking person. I know that we've read other books where the characters obviously are on the spectrum. I've read Eleanor Oliphant and really enjoyed it. I just felt like there was something missing with Molly. I didn't care whether or not she... Oh, it's so hard to say because it's a mystery. I didn't care whether or not she did it or someone else did it. I really wasn't bothered. Didn't make a difference to me.
Okay. I loved her. I just found her really intriguing. One of the really nice elements was her relationship with her grandmother and everything that all of her grandmother's sayings she takes as gospel, which kind of that influences a lot of her actions throughout the book. And I really enjoyed that. She's got some great relationships in the book as well, like the relationships with the other characters. I just really enjoyed how she was with different people.
Yeah.
How much she hated some people and just absolutely idolized others. I loved that. It was just completely black and white for her. I really enjoyed it. It was exactly what I thought it was going to be, and that was good for me.
Yeah. What I will say is that I was surprised by certain moments, like the big twisty bits, the bits that I was supposed to be, I was surprised by. There were some that you could see coming, but the important one, I think I was surprised by, which is a plus for a mystery.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And cool. It's very pretty. I'll keep it on my shelf for picture purposes.
Yes. Yeah, it's too pretty not to. I definitely need to work out a way to showcase spreadges as well, like on a shelf. There's got to be a way of, I don't know, maybe I need some sort of like suspended book.
What?
Chandelier. I don't know.
Charlie, if you're listening,
like spins.
That is your next marital project, is to build Rhiannon a suspended book chandelier that spins.
Yeah, perfect.
If anyone can do it, I'm Charlie sure can.
Someone must have something fancy like that somewhere, surely. I don't know. Well, moving on from mystery, the next two that I'm going to speak about, I can't really say loads about because they're both like thrillery.
Yeah.
So like, I just don't want to give any spoilers at all. So the first one I'm going to speak about is Ace of Spades. So this one I'd seen quite a lot. It's a young adult novel. And I didn't really know what it was going to be about. I didn't really know it was a thriller. I don't know. I just picked it up in Waterstones and was like, I've seen a lot of people say that this is good, so I'm going to read it.
Peer pressure.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's like gossip. It's very much Gossip Girl vibes.
Okay.
With a bit more of a killer twist type thing. It's so hard to talk about thrillers properly, but basically it's centered around this Nivius private academy, so super posh school, and this mystery character Aces starts spreading rumors about some of the students there, so very Gossip Girly.
Yeah.
But it gets quite dark. There are a lot of important topics covered in it. It generally is talking about institutionalized racism. So there's a lot of that in there. The two main voices that we hear is dual POV. So we've got Devon, who's a musician, who's wanting to go to Juilliard. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Chi, who's like one of the popular girls in school. Devon is like really unpopular, nobody speaks to him.
Okay.
And Chi is like super popular. So it's again very much like Dan Humphreys vibes.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like there are so many Gossip Girl parallels. That at the beginning I was just thinking like I've kind of like read all this before, but then it goes in a different direction. So I did really enjoy that. It's like I say, it's covering a lot of serious topics, and it covers a lot in quite a short space of time in quite a simplistic way. So, I mean, it's definitely for younger readers in that sense, but some of the, it's a little bit sort of fruity in some areas. There's a bit of effing and jeffing going on too. So I don't know, like, I'm not entirely sure exactly what age range it's meant to be.
Yeah.
Targeted at, I don't know. That was the only thing that I was kind of like, I don't really know where this sits.
Yeah.
Because for me as an adult reader, I could have definitely gone into some of like the more serious stuff, but like I understand where it was going in terms of introducing that idea to maybe younger readers. But
yeah,
there were certain aspects of the book where I thought maybe this isn't for people that young. So I don't know, there was just a little bit a mismatch for me there. But having said that, I literally read it in like a couple of sittings, really quick and easy, lots of important points. So
yeah sounds
I think
interesting.
It's an interesting concept. Gossip Girl gone twisted.
Yeah, so, I'd seen online that it was described as Gossip Girl meets Get Out, which is the horror movie. Well, it's a horror, so you'd have hated it. It's a horror which kind of deals that institutionalized racism side of things. It's quite dark and thought-provoking. And I loved both that and Gossip Girl, so I'm quite happy to pick that one up and read it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. My next thriller is another one that I'd seen reviewed billions of times, so I just was like, oh, I've got to take it. And I took it on my trip to Scotland to take pictures. So this is Rock, Paper, Scissors by Alice Feeney. I've never read any other thrillers by Alice Feeney, but I'm going to because I've been told that I should read, I think it's His and Hers, is one of her earlier ones, which I've not read, and I'm going to because some people have said that they preferred that one. I really enjoyed this one. So this is, it was set in the Highlands of Scotland, which is where I went on my little trip away. It's a married couple going away, which is me and my husband. Stormy weather in February. Yep. All of that. Dogs who freak out at little tiny nothing noises. Yep, we had those. So I quickly decided that this was probably not at all the book that I should be reading on my mini moon away. And I put it away for when I returned to the safety of Manchester. I'm really glad that I did. I really would not have slept if I'd started reading this. As it gets through it and you sort of understand what's going on, I think I'd have been all right. But like the first half of the book where it's like scene setting and like weird stuff's afoot, I'd have just been like sat in bed just like, Charlie, hug me forever. Never leave. So yeah, Adam and Amelia are spending a romantic weekend away for their anniversary, hoping that it will solve some of their marital issues that they've had. We haven't had any marital issues, but it's only been a few months, so give it time. But yeah, when their romantic trip takes a dark turn, they both start to wonder, can they trust the one that they're with? Dun, 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 dun. And I really can't tell you much more than that because it's a thriller and I don't want to put my foot in it and give any spoilers. But it was, yeah, really good. I didn't. There was one thing that I worked out reasonably early doors, but it didn't mar it in any way for me. I didn't particularly like the characters, but also that did not mar it for me. It was I enjoyed that they were all pretty deeply flawed, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. But yeah, really good. I really enjoyed it. Again, it was a very quick read once I was back in the safety of my home. Yeah, I would recommend it. And I managed to get some nice moody photos up on location. So I'm glad I did take it with me. But yeah, it was good. I would recommend it.
Cool.
Probably one of my top reads of the month for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
My last one is another audiobook that we were gifted by Penguin Audio. And it's, again, Rachel by Marion Keyes. It's one that I wasn't really sure that I would like because it's not really my genre. But equally, I was quite happy to have something which was what I thought was going to be a little bit more lighthearted to try and get me through kind of packing up my life. So Marion Keyes is the queen of chick lit or kind of that like rom-com genre. I have read one or two books by her a long time ago within like a book club where I didn't get to choose the book. And it was one of those, like, I don't find them offensive. I didn't hate the books, but it's not something I would have picked up. And similarly, I don't think I would have picked this one up. But it really surprised me with how actually deep it was. So I didn't realise until you'd mentioned that actually this is a kind of sequel to another book that she wrote a long time ago, I think.
It was ages ago.
15 years ago-ish, called Rachel's Holiday. And then when I did some digging further, it's actually part of kind of a series which all centres around the same family, the Walsh family. There is five daughters, and I think of the seven books that have been written, we dip in and out of the different sisters' lives. And Rachel has had a previous book, and this is her second. There's a little bit at the end of the audiobook where it's an interview with Graham Norton and Marion Keyes, the author, in which she kind of explains that she wanted the book to be able to be read as a standalone. So it definitely is. She kind of explains any little bits and pieces you might need to have known about Rachel's life. It are explained. And
yeah,
I think if you were someone who'd read the first one, I think maybe that might be quite annoying because it did drag out the beginning part of the book quite a bit, filling in the gaps of things that we needed to know. So I understand why it was necessary, but I did feel like the first half of the book, I was just like, has anything happened? Or are we just learning about stuff from the past? But yeah, I guess it's tricky to kind of walk that line of wanting to give me enough information to understand the character. So Rachel is a sober, recovering addict. So in the first books, she's got kind of a problem with recreational drugs that in this book we find she's overcome. She's a counsellor for addiction at the same rehab centre that we find her in the first book. And it's a kind of exploration of where she's at in her life and facing her past kind of head on for the first time in however long it's been, 20 years. So one of her exes comes back into her life and she's kind of forced to face the things that they didn't face at the time because she was deep into an addiction and recovery. And it's at that point that I started actually caring. And that was about halfway through. So I think I persevered with it because it was a book that we'd been gifted and I wanted to get through it to review it. But I think I probably would have put it down prior to that point had I just been reading it.
Okay.
I'm pleased that I did get that far because actually the topics that she deals with at the end of the book in the latter half is a topic which really grabbed me and I think was done incredibly sensitively and well.
Okay.
But I think that she maybe missed a trick in making it be so long in that.
Okay.
I can't really talk about what it is exactly because it really does spoil it, but...
Okay.
Yeah, there's trigger warnings of, obviously, addiction, all kinds of addiction, actually, which is one of the things I did enjoy, is that, obviously, within her capacity as a counsellor, she does meetings with her charges, some of whom are addicted to gambling, some of whom are addicted to drugs and alcohol, sex addiction. And those little snippets of those characters' stories I thought were really interesting and nice to kind of see the different reasons that people may well become addicted to things and how their lives are shaped by them. I thought that was quite interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm pleased I listened to it. I think it surprised me. It was not the kind of fluffy chick lit that I thought it was going to be. I just wish it was a little bit. I wish it had got to the emotional stuff a little bit sooner. That's all.
Okay. Needed to be a bit more concise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough. Cool. My last one. So we're at the end of our book journey today.
Yeah.
My last one is...
You've got two left,
right? It ends... Oh, have we?
Yeah, Evidence of the Affair.
Oh, sorry. Right, well, scrap that.
It's only a little baby one, that's why you maybe missed
Reversey Percy. Oh, yeah. I've not got a physical copy of it as well, that's why.
Right.
So, okay. Evidence of the Affair is my second to last one. So this is a teeny tiny little short story by Taylor Jenkins Reid, who... we all know and love. This was a little palate cleanser after I'd finished A Little Life. Hannah's not quite there yet, are you?
No, today. That's my list for today.
But, okay. And then we will record our podcast on that. We have thoughts. But yeah, this was one that I was recommended by Abby. And I'm really glad that I picked it up because when I finished A Little Life, I was just like, what on earth do I do now? Like, I've got no idea what I feel like reading.
Nothing.
I just feel like throwing myself off a bridge. But I'm glad that I went down the route of reading this book rather than anything destructive. So yeah, Evidence of the Affair is a tiny little 80 page quick little number that I literally just sailed through. It's essentially a story that's written in a series of letters between a lady that finds out that her husband is having an affair, and she writes to the husband of the lady that's having the affair with her husband.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got it.
So we've basically got a couple that are having an affair, and then their respective partners are writing letters to each other to like deal with this affair.
Okay.
It was really good. It was obviously super quick paced, really like emotionally hefty considering its tiny little length of book. And yeah. There was twists and turns as well. I really enjoyed the ending. Yeah. It was great. It was exactly what I needed. It was also free on Amazon Prime. So great.
Yeah.
Perfect. I would highly recommend it for anybody who is having a reading slump. my reading slump lasted for all of about 30 minutes because I went straight into reading that and I was like, right, okay, I'm ready for my next one now.
Yeah. She's so good.
Yeah.
I would read anything that she wrote. She's just incredible.
I put a few of her back catalog because we've read like all of her more recent works.
Yeah,
works of art. But yeah, I think I want to delve into some of her back catalog just to see what it's like, just because people's writing styles change.
Yeah,
a lot. So I'm interested to see. But yeah, it was a really good short story. And then I read the next book, which is my last book, which is what I wanted to talk about before Hannah reminded me that I had missed out Evidence of the Affair, which was that is scandalous. I did want to talk about that one, so thank you. So my last one is It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover, Coho Fans Unite. So she's a Bookstagram favourite. I have read one of her books before, which I think was a left field choice because I read Layla, which is not one of her normal, like, romance heavy. I don't know what her genre is, but I would kind of define it as like heavy romance.
Okay.
Just because there's like emotional stuff that goes on. Always with a side of romance. I mean, from what I have gleaned so far.
Okay.
And I am not a Coho pro yet. So, anyway. Layla was her dip into like paranormal weirdness.
Yeah.
So this was a bit more normal. And I really enjoyed this one. It was definitely, it lived up to the Bookster hype for me.
Okay.
It there's definitely trigger warnings ahoy for this one. One of like the central themes is around domestic violence, and there's an instance of rape as well. So it's not an easy read chick lit at all.
Right.
It's really well written. I really enjoyed the characters. Our central character is called Lily, and we follow her. We find out a lot about her childhood, and then her new relationship, and we go back and talk about her old relationship. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I just liked all of the characters. I connected with them all instantly. This one, I felt more in this one than I did in A Little Life.
Okay.
So that's a spoiler for our A Little Life podcast. I did also enjoy A Little Life. Although it's a weird thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
I enjoyed that much misery. But this one, I got more feelings from It Ends With Us than I did with A Little Life.
Did you cry?
No.
Oh, not that many feelings.
No. No. The thing that got me the most was the very end, which I'm not gonna spoil in any way. But the relationship with her mother, there was certain aspects of that got me. And also the author's note at the end, because Colleen Hoover has personal experience in the areas that it covers.
Right.
So, yeah, that was really sort of eye-opening as well. And after I'd read that, I kind of understood, like, okay, so she knows what she's talking about.
Right.
So it gave it even more emotional heft.
Okay.
But yes, I really enjoyed it. I immediately went to Tesco and bought another Colleen Hoover book to see whether I liked that one as much, because Layla was fine, but it was not really for me. I don't really like ghost stuff. But this one was definitely for me, so I bought Ugly Love, which was one that a lot of people recommended.
Yeah,
but she's written about a billion books, so I've got a lot to choose from.
Yeah, this is a problem. Now you've got into ACOTAR, you've got millions of those to read. Now you're going to become a Coho pro.
I know. Maybe it's just a slippery slope that I don't need to go down. But anyway, I did really enjoy it. So I'm going to do my review. That should be up on Wednesday, so it'll be up the day after this podcast is released, hopefully.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. But yeah, it was a nice way to end my reading month.
Cool. And a nice way and to end the podcast.
Yes, but before we end, I'm excited for... She's announced that there's going to be a follow-up.
Okay.
To this story, which is very exciting, and I will definitely be on board with that later in the year.
Cool.
So, yeah. I'm sure there is a lot of the Coho fans out there who are very excited about that. So
eagerly awaiting.
Absolutely. I don't feel like I explained many of those books very well at all, but I feel so many of the ones that I've read, I just don't want to give anything away. Yeah. I think my reading experience was enhanced with a lot of these by just not really knowing what I was going into at all. And so I think that I was got multiple times with like, oh, right, yeah. Okay, I see. And I don't want to mar anybody else's experience. So sorry if I've given any remarkably sketchy outlines of what the hell I just read. But yeah, all of the ones that I've talked about today certainly have a lot of merit in reading. So
yeah,
there you go.
That wraps us up then. We've kind of alluded to, the next time you hear our voices, we'll be talking about the monster that is A Little Life. I am off to spend the rest of today sobbing into the last few pages. Yeah, I think it's not a spoiler really that I've cried a lot of my way through this book. So I'm very excited to talk about it, and I'm going to probably have tissues for the next recording as well.
Okay.
But yeah, okay. It's been a fun little chat about a few books, and I'm going to...
It has.
Hopefully get some more read next month once I'm actually in and settled and have my shelves built.
Absolutely. You'll have shelves to fill, so you have to read. Cool, guys. All right, well... I've got to go and edit this podcast because we're doing this on Monday morning and this has got to be live in a few hours, so
yeah,
I'm gonna quickly edit it and pop it up, so sorry if there are horrific editing mistakes. I've done it in a rush.
I'm sure it'll be perfect.
We'll see. Cool, we will speak at you later.
Bye
everyone. Hi there. Thank you so much for listening to Two Girls, One Book podcast. If you like what you heard, we would love for you to like, follow, rate, subscribe. In fact, just all that good stuff, please, would be fantastic. You can also find us on Instagram at Two Girls, One Book Pod, so come and follow us over there as well. Happy reading, and join us next time.